Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I am Coach Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, my guest, Lilia Rakorang, the CEO of Hospitality and Tourism Association of Botswana, warned the government to extend the moratorium on tourism-related businesses to mitigate the financial distress industry players are going through. She discusses the country's domestic tourism push and lessons learned during this pandemic. Good morning to the VA Tourism Podcast, and how are you doing in Botswana?
We're doing good. It's sunny, quite warming up. Spring is upon us, so it's a beautiful day today.
It's a beautiful day.
We're doing good, yes.
Yes, I mean, but unfortunately, people cannot travel. How is the tourism situation there? Situation, restrictions,
the tourism,
background, yeah.
The tourism situation, we really haven't changed much from the last time I spoke to you. We still got the borders are still closed. We still have our zones in place where you still have to get a permit to travel across the from one zone to the other one, and the alcohol ban is still in place. There's still restrictions on the number of people that can congregate in one place for conferences. It's still at 50 people per facility. So yeah, domestic has been opened up, but like I said, with all these still in place, it's quite an uphill battle. That's where we are. We currently have, at least for the Greater Aberdeen, we are having occupancies sitting at about 3 to 5% for accommodation. For those that are in the travel agency and tour operating, they're really at very low margins, and it's hard. It's still a hard place.
And how are you managing your members, the HATAB members and people within the sector?
It's a tricky situation in the sense that, of course, expectations are high. Everybody is, the anxiety level is high. It's about survival of the business. And what makes it a bit more tricky is the fact that we are still under state of emergency. And as Botswana, that we've taken a position that nobody should be retrenched during the state of emergency. So now even the businesses, unfortunately, are not even able to use that as a measure of controlling the direction of their businesses. Of course, engagement at government level is still continuing on behalf of our membership. We've done the relief, which ended end of July. We've also done a short-term measure where we've asked for an extension of that 3 months relief package, including the wage subsidy, still to be considered by government. And then also we've looked at the soft opening of the industry where we could maybe allow the charters to come in place, start negotiating with other long haul, where we can maybe even look into co-partner with some airlines and start maybe softly opening up and so on and so forth. So really, I think that's the space where we are at. But of course, the business is not able to cope and wait as we move along. We hope it could be faster, but unfortunately the pace is not as we desire from the private sector.
Let's stay a bit on the relief packages. What has been given, what has been promised, and what is happening actually?
For us, the relief package that was proposed by government, we proposed, and government really indeed came up with the relief package that has been given. It was 3 months, which was from April, May, and June. But like I said, 3 months, it has elapsed. So now we are asking for tourism industry, we've asked for an extension of that relief package. The relief included wage subsidy, tax holiday, loan holiday, you know, the what you would require to relieve the business whilst we go through with the muddied waters. But now it has elapsed for tourism. With all the restrictions, our recovery, it indeed is very clear that it's going to take longer. We are the industry that went in first, and definitely we are the industry that is going to come out last. Hence, we have asked for an extension.
But with your destination or your country being, you know, pretty much an inbound destination, are you picking any signals on how they're going to open the country or when they're going to open the country for international tourists?
There is no sign. I think in principle, the government, somehow they also believe that maybe we could look into the soft opening, but the challenge is it is taking time for us to realize that happening. In terms of fully opening the borders, unfortunately there is no indication of when exactly that will happen. As government is saying, it will be dependent on the management of the virus. The numbers, yes, for Botswana are slowly are picking up, but of course our view is that let us find a way where we can coexist with the virus. How can we manage the two together, and maybe now see how we can protect the businesses in order to safeguard the jobs that already exist within the industry. I think that is what is very important in terms of protecting the livelihoods of the people. Because, you know, you may say, I don't want people to get infected and I don't want people to suffer. However, if we don't try to strike a balance, they will still suffer differently, whereby now it will be no food.
Okay, but now we all agree that this is not sustainable. But has the private sector, HATAB, made a concrete proposal with respect to what you would do to safeguard the tourists and secure each and everyone to government?
Oh yes, for example, in our short term measures, we've said maybe we could actually even look at the rapid testing, where now we even ask the clients to test in their countries of origin. They come with their test certificate, and we've also developed the protocols, and the industry have already put those protocols in place. So yes, indeed, as the industry, we've taken the responsibility of ensuring that things at least are done in such a manner that we are taking care of our employees, and then secondly, the guests.
The Botswana Tourism Organization has turned to domestic tourism revival. Okay, is it realistic? Is there a sector like the domestic tourism in Botswana?
Of course, it's a market that we have to see how best we get the best value from it. It's a market where it hasn't really been there, but we are seeing that there's that appetite for the locals to start traveling Botswana. But in terms of sustainability, because when you look at how tourism has happened in Botswana, 80% is pretty much from the international market. 20% is what we were getting from the domestic. So, and we also have to bear in mind that it's not like even for the domestic, their incomes also have been impacted. So they have to make decisions that they would not ordinarily make in terms of travel. You know, by nature, travel is not really a necessity.
Okay, but have they taken into consideration the price sensitivity to domestic market?
That has been done. The industry has really come up with domestic packages, and the domestic packages are really, they're really good for this period, and there is appetite from the domestic market to travel Botswana. But like I said, unfortunately, with all, some of these restrictions in place, it still creates a challenge. For example, now we are getting those that are cancelling because one, you still have to apply for a permit. Two, the alcohol ban. Some are even saying, some of the guests are saying, if I can have alcohol in my house, but now I'm on, I want to go on vacation, I'm not able to have a glass of wine on a sun for a sundowner. It takes away the experience of a vacation. So some are saying, I will rather wait. So yeah, that's where we are at.
Okay, is it a fair assertion to say that Botswana's case is intrinsically linked to South Africa's situation that would help you to move levels in terms of the level that you are in now?
Of course, South Africa, we're using the levels, and we had our own model. Our own model is that for the businesses, we have fully opened. We did even the alcohol at some point, it was opened up, but we went into third lockdown for the Greater Gaborone. And when we went into that, that is when the alcohol ban was put back in place, but just for the Greater Gaborone. But then thereafter, it was also extended to the rest of the country. And even after we got out of lockdown, that still remained in place.
No, because I was looking at it from the point
South Africa,
of
we could be using it. We could be using it as a model. We could be using it as a case study. But because we've seen what that has done to South Africa, but I don't think we are using it as a case study.
No, I was, I was actually referring to it as a gateway to Southern Africa, in terms of the tourism market, because you see a lot of international or long hauls and big carriers land in Johannesburg, and then they can filter through to their destination. That's what I'm saying, that once they are close, do some market, substantial market.
Oh, certainly, like SADC region, like any other, we create a trail for our guests. South Africa, of course, was the gateway into other destinations. And however, we believe that we can still, as I said, we need to look into the commercial opening up for air, and we can work with other destinations such as Namibia, such as Zimbabwe, and work around the core sharing. But South Africa has fully opened up now, so we can still maybe use it again as a springboard, as we had ordinarily done.
But again, back to my question, that is government ready to listen to the fact that, you have cases happening in South Africa, in Ghana, in Kenya, where you have domestic tourism actually, opened fully, with limited restrictions? Because they have looked at the best practices in your surroundings or, around the world to be able to push for the tourism sector.
When we engage, yes, we do give those case studies to say, this is how the industry is doing elsewhere. Let us look at the best practice. Let us see how we can move along and get the best out of the situation. But I would also want to imagine that government should also be doing its own analysis. But I think where we are lacking is in terms of now making those decisions and say this is the direction we are going. We are very slow in that area, but when we discuss, all of us, we are in agreement that maybe something's got it has to give for us to start moving towards that direction.
What is the one thing that HATAP has learned from all of this?
One of the things that we have really learned from this is for us to create that market internally, where when we are not able to get the market from outside, we can be sustained going forward. And then also another thing is the importance that transport plays in this, because like you said, with South Africa, we rely heavily on South Africa. We need to look into the long haul routes and ensure that indeed as Botswana, we can have those long haul. Is very, very important. Transport is a very intrinsic part of our trade.
Okay. Finally, what are the plans of HATAP when everything is opened and going forward a year from now under your leadership?
Well, we are looking at opportunities within the tourism space. We need to see how we can now extend the tourism business for it to remain relevant to the economy of Botswana. But I think where we are first and foremost is to ensure that the businesses survive. If the business can survive, then we will not have to start rebuilding. We can now just put on the key and then we move, and then we can look into new opportunities and then take it from there. And then of course the markets are also one key area where it's very important.
Many thanks, Lily, for your time.
Thank you very much, Kojo.